This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. With more than 50 million viewers, Al Jazeera is the most popular news channel in the Middle East and perhaps the most controversial news channel in the world. As the first major alternative to the propaganda on state-controlled TV stations, it represents a journalistic breakthrough. But its critics consider the programming tainted by an anti-Semitic and anti-American bias. Now Al Jazeera is planning to launch an English-language version of its news channel. Al Jazeera is headquartered in Qatar, where it was founded 9 years ago by the emir, Sheikh Hamad. My guest, Hugh Miles, is the author of the new book, Al Jazeera. He's the son of a British diplomat, spent much of his childhood in the Middle East, and studied Arabic at Oxford. He's written for the London Review of Books and the Sunday Times of London. Miles first started watching Al Jazeera during the invasion of Iraq when he was working for Sky News in London, which, like Fox News, is owned by Rupert Murdoch. Miles' job was to monitor the Arab news channels. To research his book, he went to Qatar, where he says he was given full access to all but financial records. He says there are several things that make Al Jazeera unique and explain its popularity.
Before Al Jazeera arrived in 1996, the quality of Arab television news was dire, absolutely dire. And there were several other channels offering news in Arabic, backed by wealthy Arab princes or governments. But these news channels weren't interested in providing a quality news service. They had other agendas, serving the government, basically, which in practice meant much buffing of the ruler's ego, and there was lots of tedious national occasions and cutting of ribbons and kissing of babies, completely vacuous. And Al Jazeera just dispelled all that. And another important difference about Al Jazeera is when considering the market that it's broadcasting to, many Arabs, especially Arab women, are illiterate. And so television news is a primary source of how people find out what's going on. In Iraq, for example, over 75% of Iraqi women, adult women, are illiterate. And more than 50% of Egyptians, which is the most populous Arab country by far, are illiterate. So Al Jazeera is disproportionately important in how people understand the world around them.
Did you feel that the concepts of fairness and accuracy were consistent with how they're defined by Western media?
Certainly. Yeah, I found that Al Jazeera was absolutely fastidious in presenting both sides of every story, even though arguably sometimes it's better to present an opinionated point of view. But Al Jazeera was meticulous in trying to live up to their slogan, the channel slogan, which is the opinion and the other opinion. So whatever they said, they would balance it with the other side. Apart from anything else, they know that they're being scrutinized by the world, and so they really try hard to present both sides of the coin.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I should just qualify that by saying that within Al Jazeera, it's very important to differentiate between the news, which is created by Al Jazeera's journalists and tends to be of an extremely high standard. Of course, sometimes they make mistakes, and there's no such thing as objective truth, and nobody's perfect. But they do, on the whole, a very good job. But then, on the other hand, you have Al Jazeera's talk shows. Now, the talk shows are what has made the channel famous in the Middle East. And those talk shows feature guests who are not employees of the station, and who use the opportunity on Al Jazeera often to say extremely hateful things, quite often very anti-American or anti-Semitic things. Now, the question arises, at what point must Al Jazeera start taking responsibility for its guests? And that is really not a very easy question to answer.
Why not? Why shouldn't they take responsibility for not putting on hate speech, for not putting on anti-Semitism?
Well, because the problem is that many people in the Arab world hate America right now. They hate Israel. Now, what do you do with these people? Do you let them have? Do you give them no voice at all? Do you pretend they don't exist? I mean, when the studies and polls have shown that very, very high percentage of Arabs loathe America and would like to go to war with Israel tomorrow, you can't pretend they don't exist. Al Jazeera, in many ways, holds up a mirror to the Arab world, and it gives people an opportunity to say things which everyone is feeling. That's not Al Jazeera's fault that people hate America. I mean, it's sad but true. And the good news is that in future, if there was a change of American policy in the Middle East, if there was a change of condition in various Arab countries, then I think we could confidently expect to see that reflected on Al Jazeera's talk shows.
Well, but there's one, you know, there's a difference between talking about policy and disagreeing with how a country behaves as a country. There's a difference between that and condemning all Jews or saying that, you know, Americans deserve to be attacked by terrorists, or that, you know, it's a good thing that, that people died in the attacks on the World Trade Center. I mean, there's a difference between hate mongering and conspiracy theories and discussing policies that you disagree with, or behavior that you disagree with.
I absolutely agree, and of course it reaches a point where it's incitement to racial hatred, where it's incitement to kill people.
Yes, well, how much did you feel like it reached that point when you were watching Al Jazeera and when you were inside Al Jazeera?
Extremely rarely, probably less often than it does on Fox News, for example. And that's not just my opinion; that's also the opinion of the British regulator, for example. Ofcom has found Fox News in breach of its code of broadcasting more often than it's found Al Jazeera.
What is the British regulator?
It's the same as the FCC.
I see.
It's the Independent Television Regulator, which is a body designed to monitor the quality of news, and it's consistently found more fault with Fox than it has with Al Jazeera.
What were the criticisms of Fox?
The problem Ofcom, the British regulator, had with Fox News during the invasion of Iraq, firstly, during the invasion of Afghanistan, problems included waving the American flag, the Old Glory lapel pins which the newsreaders were wearing, Geraldo Rivera brandishing a gun, using the pronoun we interchangeably to describe Fox News and the American military. None of this would be legal for a British broadcasting outfit. In Britain, the rules are that it has to be fair and balanced, ironically. And so Fox could never be broadcast from the UK to a British audience. It would certainly contravene Ofcom's regulations.
So Fox is not carried by British cable?
Fox can be received by satellite in the UK. Now, that the Ofcom has made a special exception for this because it understands that most British people are not Fox's target audience because it's aimed at American expats. Ofcom has decided to make an exception for Fox, but that hasn't stopped Ofcom coming down heavily on Fox on several occasions, not just for biased reporting, but also for giving undue prominence to certain commercial products in what was supposed to be a news item.
My guest is Hugh Miles. He's the author of the new book, Al Jazeera, which is about the Arab news channel, the controversial Arab news channel. Before we talk more about why Al Jazeera is so controversial, just get a little bit of the channel's history. How did Al Jazeera get started?
Al Jazeera started in 1996 in Qatar, which is a tiny, tiny gas-rich Gulf country between Iran and Saudi Arabia. It was funded and set up by the emir of that country, a man called Sheikh Hamad. He set it up with approximately $150 million of his own money. And he has been the godfather of Al Jazeera. He's consistently given it more money and given it political protection. So that's how it came about.
Why did he want to create it?
Well, people disagree over why he wanted to create it. The Saudis, for example, think that he created it in order to cause problems in Saudi Arabia. I would argue that the reason he created it was because he was a liberal. He was Western educated. He was at Sandhurst Military Academy. He is much younger than the other Arab rulers. He is a new generation. He was just 44, I believe, when he came to power in a coup. So he's a new type of Arab leader, and I think that he genuinely wants democratic reforms in Qatar.
What was Al Jazeera's early programming like?
Pretty riotous. They deliberately decided to make it as controversial as possible. They broke taboos almost at a weekly rate, political, religious, sexual taboos.
Like what?
The two most controversial Arabic, controversial Arabic shows on Al Jazeera, which run to this day, are Religion and Life, Sharia wal Hayat, and Al-Ittija al-Muakis, which means the opposite direction. The opposite direction is a political talk show where typically two guests are invited on to have a row. And it's mediated by a gentleman called Faisal al-Qasim, who's a Syrian. And typically they have a political opposites facing one another. For example, there'll be a member of the Algerian government facing a member of the Algerian government in exile, and they hate each other even before they're on the show. And so it's explosive. And al-Qasim does his best to wind them up and ask them the most provocative questions that he can. And it's been hugely controversial. It's led to the cessation of diplomatic relations with several countries. It's caused enormous offence. And Faisal al-Qasim is very proud of it. And it's been hugely popular. But it's broken many, many taboos by considering all sorts of very provocative questions. And the show continues to run to this day. And they continue to debate all kinds of hot-button issues. The other show, Religion and Life, is hosted by a man called Sheikh Al-Qaradawi, who is a religious authority. He's Al Jazeera's resident religious authority. He's not actually an employee of the station, and he's a very controversial figure. People disagree over whether Sheikh Al-Qaradawi is a liberal or a conservative or even a force for good. His reputation in America was scuttled when he passionately endorsed Palestinian suicide bombing. But at the same time, the Sheikh has also helped America, for example, by inferring authority on the invasion of Afghanistan, which many people didn't do. He condemned the 9/11 attacks, which sounds basic, but many clerics in the Middle East didn't. At the same time, he called for a jihad against France for imposing the headscarf in schools. So the Sheikh Al-Qaradawi is a wild card, and his fatwas are enormously influential. They affect hundreds of millions of Muslims, Shia and Sunni. He's on one of Al Jazeera's flagship shows. He's also incidentally reflected on questions regarding sex, and one of the most controversial episodes of Religion and Life was when he ruled that fellatio was within the bounds of the Quran.
It's surprising to me that would even be discussed.
Yeah, sure. Arab viewers were absolutely spellbound. And not only were they spellbound that it was being discussed, but they were amazed that the Sheikh was so liberal. I mean, his overriding policy towards sex was basically, as long as it's between consenting adults, anything goes.
It's kind of disturbing to think that there's a cleric on TV who's advocating suicide bombing or advocating a jihad against France. I mean, that's not only provocative. I mean, that's like a call to arms. That's a call for people to go out and kill.
Well, arguably, yes, you're right. But the bottom line is that free speech is not an unalloyed advance. And if you're going to have a television network where people are going to be allowed to say what they feel, I'm afraid you're going to get a reflection of what people in the region feel. And right now, plenty of people in the Middle East hate America's guts. Now, that's not Al Jazeera's fault. And arguably, you could say that the same kind of hateful speech comes out on American news networks as well.
Well,
it's sad, but it's not the media's fault necessarily.
Do you think that there should be more editorial responsibility for? Obviously, this is editorially condoned. I mean, he's had a show. You know, this cleric has had a show since Al Jazeera started. I mean, is this the kind of thing you ask them about? You know, is this editorially responsible to have somebody on? You know, a religious figure who's basically not only condoning but basically calling for suicide bombing or jihad.
Sure, yeah. Firstly, it's worth pointing out that Sheikh Al-Qaradawi is not actually an employee of Al Jazeera. He's technically a guest, but nevertheless, he is on their screens almost on a weekly basis, and he is the leading religious authority on Al Jazeera. His opinions are inflammatory. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There is not just from the Sheikh, but from other guests as well. There are hateful opinions expressed on Al Jazeera. But unfortunately, that's what happens when you get free speech in a region which is riven by hate. And that is a price that we must pay for having free speech in the Arab world.
I'm having a little trouble accepting that, you know, that just because there's a lot of hate, that belongs as a regular feature in that vitriolic way on the media. I mean, part of editorial responsibility, it seems to me, is finding people who are informed and reasonable and... Do you know that you don't give your regular slots to the biggest extremists and have them just because there's hate out there, you don't necessarily give it a regular feature and let it run free.
I agree with you, and it's important to underline that Al Jazeera's journalists are not hateful like this. Al Jazeera's journalists are much more balanced and are much more professional, but they invite on guests, and the guests are balanced on the talk shows. The guests, when one of them is anti-American, there'll also be a pro-American voice. So the idea is that it's not completely one-sided.
Just one more question on this. As a journalist yourself, did you find yourself thinking a lot about where the line is between free speech and journalistic responsibility for the speech that's on the air?
Sure. I do think about that, and I did think about that when I was with Al Jazeera. But I think it's also very important to keep Al Jazeera in perspective with other news channels. I mean, for example, Al Jazeera is often criticised for its terminology it uses, like resistance and martyr, and occupation, and the so-called war on terror, and Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz in particular have been two of Al Jazeera's most persistent critics about these terms. Now, terminology is a perennially sticky issue. I mean, was it an invasion or was it a liberation? Did Basra fall or was it occupied? Now, we could argue that Al Jazeera is biased, and certainly many people have done, but at the same time, it's worth bearing in mind that in 2001, a study by Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting in the US found that 90% of American news networks failed to mention the word occupied or occupation or any other variant of the term in news reports about the West Bank and Gaza. And in the American press, Israeli assassinations are consistently termed targeted killings. The Israeli military becomes security forces. Israeli settlements become innocuous-sounding neighborhoods. Frequently, people talk about a period of calm when no Israelis, a number of Palestinians have been killed. So there is bias on both sides.
Let's get back to a word like suicide bomber versus martyr. Mm. And martyr would be the word that Al Jazeera uses. Martyr puts a very kind of positive spin on the person who takes their life in order to kill Israelis or to kill Americans.
Undoubtedly, martyr is a word it's a loaded word. It's a word with positive connotations.
It turns you into a saint for killing other people.
Well, I mean, that's the English use. I mean, martyr is not a word we would normally use in this context in English, but it's the normal Arabic word to talk about somebody who has died in fighting in. Against an enemy, a Muslim who has died. Al Jazeera didn't invent the word; it was around before they used it. But they do use it, and it certainly is not a neutral term. So everyone has a terminology. I mean, both sides have terminologies, as I've explained.
One of the things that Al Jazeera became famous for was broadcasting tapes from Bin Laden, correct me if I'm wrong, but Al-Qaeda has delivered several tapes, or somehow or another, Al Jazeera has been the first to get several tapes from Al-Qaeda. What were you able to learn about how they get the tapes?
Well, Al Jazeera undoubtedly has very close links with Al-Qaeda and has done for some time, and they've been extremely careful to foster those links. In January 2001, for example, in less than a year before the 9/11 attacks, an Al Jazeera correspondent, Ahmed Zaidan, was the only foreign journalist present at the wedding of one of bin Laden's sons to the daughter of one of his aides. In October the 20th, 2001, another Al Jazeera journalist, Taysir Alooni, met with bin Laden face-to-face in his hideout. Alooni is now held on terrorism charges in Spain. So Al Jazeera have got links to Al-Qaeda, which they are proud of, which they keep secret. They've met other senior al-Qaeda leaders at different intervals. And they have no problem getting hold of tapes, and they have many more tapes which they haven't broadcast. So it's not a difficult thing for them to do to get hold of these tapes. They're the go-to station for all sorts of extremist groups, including al-Qaeda.
When you say they're proud of their connection, do you mean ideologically proud, or do you mean proud that they have such connections to such a newsworthy, you know, such a newsmaking group?
They are not at all proud of the ideology. I mean, Al Jazeera has got no ideological sympathy for al-Qaeda or bin Laden at all, but they are proud of the fact that as journalists they can consistently get scoops which are the envy of every other news station in the world.
Hugh Miles is the author of the new book Al Jazeera. He's written for the London Review of Books and the Sunday Times of London.